Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi adha'afa ma hamidahu jami'u khalqihi kama yuhibbuhu wa yardahu. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad an-nabiyil ummiyyi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khair wa bika nasta'in ya fattah. Allahumma ij'alna du'atan ilayka wa ila rasulik. Allahumma faqihna fid din wa 'allimna al Qur'an al Hakim. Rabbana zidna ilma. Amma ba'd. Blessings within progeny. A person goes, a person dies. He leaves behind his children, his offspring. The blessings continue and they go on unto his children. The blessings of a sahibun nisba, a person with nisbat and connection, this divine connection. The blessings of a sahibun nisba flow towards their lineage as well. It is stated in some books that Allah Ta'ala protects the faith, the iman, of 21 generations down the progeny of a true waliullah and a true friend of Allah. Thus the Almighty states, Allah states in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا عَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. سُورَةُ الطُّورِ. Those who believed and their progeny who followed them with faith and iman, we shall join their progeny with them on the final day and shall not waste anything from their deeds. Under this ayah, the ulama, the scholars of Quranic commentary, the Mufassirun, have written that even though the progeny of the mashayikh, be they true progeny, real progeny, or even spiritual progeny of the mashayikh, do not possess the same level of deeds and faith as them, but as long as they try to follow in their footsteps according to their capacity, Allah Ta'ala will join them in the ranks of their mashayikh on the day of Qiyamah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا عَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. The blessed children. In verse 82 of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah Ta'ala describes how Hazrat Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, and Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam came upon a house that belonged to two children. There was a wall there, jidarun, under which lay a treasure according to the verse. Hazrat Qadir alayhi salam rebuilt the wall, and the reason stated for rebuilding it was to protect the treasure beneath it so that Allah would expose it to the children when they would grow up. The words used in the ayah as their father was a virtuous person. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was salih, righteous, virtue. Some scholars of tafsir interpret the word father here, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, to mean either grandfather or some pious wali who had lived among the higher ranks of the family. In fact, in the books of tafsir, it is also stated that between that father of theirs and between them, seven generations had passed, and Allah protected the wealth of the orphans who would grow up and eventually get their wealth. Thus Allah Ta'ala protected the children's treasure. Owing to the virtue of a pious man who had passed away in the family, a father of theirs, a grandfather of theirs, and as I said in commentary, seven generations had passed, and the blessing still went down to them, and Allah protected their wealth, and Khadir alayhi salam rebuilt and buttressed and supported and strengthened the wall. Blessings in the final moments. It is written in Qari Muhammad Tayyib's sermons, Rahmatullah Alayh, who was the late principal of Darul Uloom, Deoband in India. It's written about him, Qari Tayyib Sahib's sermons. He said that a woman once entered his circle of followers. She took bayat and she was a murida. So this woman once entered the circle of his followers at a lecture, and she never had the chance to attend his gathering again. However, she religiously followed the litanies, the zikr, the azkar that he had prescribed for her. 20 years later, as she entered her final moments and the inflictions of death started to occur, it was time for her to die. She suddenly proclaimed, she said, "Look, look, Hazrat is coming, Hazrat is coming. Look, he is here. He is making me recite something. Hazrat, what do you want me to recite? Hazrat, are you wanting me to recite the proclamation of faith? Okay, okay, I shall recite." Thus, she stated the words, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam," and her soul then departed. Consider the fact that she had entered into his circle of followers, taken by her 20 years earlier. During this time, she had no chance of maintaining contact, but she followed his guidance. 20 years later, at the time of death, she could have seen either one of her sheikh's latifas. Maybe it was the sheikh's latifa that she saw. A latifa is a spiritual station within the human being to interact with the divine realm. Or Allah Ta'ala would have sent one of his rijalul ghaib. There are some men that sometimes are seen on the earth, and they are known as rijalul ghaib, people of the unseen, men of the unseen, rijalul ghaib. Maybe it was one of the sheikh's latifa that she saw, or Allah Ta'ala would have sent one of his rijalul ghaib to protect her iman. Such are the blessings of the nisbah. Blessings of the nisbah. It goes down even to one's hakiki, real children, or even one's spiritual children. The blessings of pointing at the heart. The mashayikh of tasawwuf have devised a way of entering Allah's love into the hearts by pointing at the heart while focusing and infusing Allah's blessed name into it. Khwaja Fazal Ali Quraishi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, would state that whoever's heart has been blessed with the indication of the name Allah cannot die without iman. Hence, the divine light of nisbah would protect his iman in the perilous moments of death. We all have heard of the famous tafsir book, book of commentary known as At-Tafsir al-Kabir. At-Tafsir al-Kabir, the big tafsir, written by Imam Razi, by Al-Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, rahmatullah alayhi. Very famous book in tafsir, At-Tafsir al-Kabir. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullah alayhi, is a renowned personality of tasawwuf. So not was he a great mufassir who wrote At-Tafsir al-Kabir, but he was also very famous in tasawwuf. And he was a murid, a disciple of Sheikh Najmuddin Kubra, rahmatullah alayhi. He had constituted 100 proofs to the existence of Allah. It is time for him to die. The great Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, alayhi rahmah. Upon his deathbed, the shaitan came to divert him from the right path. The most powerful arsenal applied by shaitan is at the time of someone's death. So we have to be very mindful and careful and make dua. Don't think it's over. The most powerful arsenal applied by shaitan is at the time of someone's death. So shaitan said to Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi alayhi rahma, "You have worshipped Allah all your life. Have you ever come to become acquainted with him?" Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi said, "Allah is one. Allah is one. Allahu ahad. Allahu ahad." To which shaitan said, "Give me proof. Give me proof." Applying his greatest arsenal at the time of death. Thus the imam gave one proof, but the shaitan repudiated it. Then he gave the second and the third, until shaitan had repudiated all 100 of his proofs. Broke all 100 of his proofs. At this point, Imam Razi, alayhi rahma, became perplexed. Sheikh Najmuddin, look how deep this path is, this path of tasawwuf. It's a part of Islam that so many of us are not exposed to and we don't know about. Sheikh Najmuddin Kubra, rahmatullah alayhi, was sitting somewhere far, performing wudu. Allahu Ta'ala apprised him of his disciple's situation, of the state of his murid. Allah apprised him through kashf, or through divine vision. The sheikh suddenly threw the pot of water with fury and proclaimed, "Why? Why do you not say that I believe in Allah? Amantu billah. I believe in Allah without a proof. I don't need any proof. Why don't you say that?" At this point, the face of his sheikh was in front of the great mufassir, the great Sufi, Sheikh Imam Razi. And thus his iman was saved from the logical trap of shaitan. Shaitan is using logic. The face of his sheikh was in front of Imam Razi, and thus his fate was saved from the logical trap of shaitan. Such are the blessings of the nisba in protecting one's fate. The graveyard and forgiveness. It is a documented and public fact in Lahore. Everyone knows it, documented and public fact in Lahore, Pakistan, that the grave of Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori, alayhi rahma, emitted a strange fragrance after his death. Time passed, and Sheikh Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori appeared in one of his deputy's dreams, one of his Khalifa's dreams. Upon inquiring, Hazrat said, because normally the murids would see the sheikh in dream and they would ask, "How did you fare with Allah?" Upon inquiring, Hazrat said, "I was presented before Allah Ta'ala. He asked me, 'Ahmad Ali, why did you cry? Why did you cry so much?' throughout your life. Why? At this point, I became frightened, for I was being inquired from. Allah said, Ahmad Ali, you are becoming frightened. Today is not the day of being afraid. Today you shall reap your reward. Thus, we forgive you and the dwellers of the graveyard in which you are buried. Subhanallah. This nisbah is surely something strange. The stronghold of prayers. Those who are related to the Ashabun Nisbah, or the people of Nisbah, bearers of the Nisbah, are blessed with Allah's protection miles away due to the prayers and the doers of their mashayikh. A lot of people start falling into traps even after taking bayat. They start falling into traps, but they are saved in the strangest ways. The reasons are the doers of their sheikhs and the mashayikh, the doers of the mashayikh that encircle us every second of our lives. People are pulled out from tribulations as a strand of hair is pulled out from water. That is why someone proclaimed, prayers of a friend, duas of a friend, far, far away encircle me, such that I drown, but the ocean refuses me. Prayers of a friend, far away encircle me, such that I drown, but the ocean refuses me. Thus, we should beg for the divine radiance and nur of Nisbat with all our ability. The following couplet best describes the importance of it. The Nisbat, the relationship of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is grand as it brings glory to its bearer. If anyone has that Nisbat and is connected to him, it is grand as it brings glory to its bearer, Nisbati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For Allah proclaimed, he who is not Mustafa's does not belong to us. The attributes of the Nisba, qualities and signs of the Nisba. Everyone in the world has their own thinking, tastes and attributes. But the one who is blessed with the light of Nisba has certain traits that set him apart from others. The more these attributes take form within him, the stronger the glow of his radiance becomes. The following are a few traits. Immersion in Allah and the light of Nisba. A core trait of a sahibun Nisba is that his remembrance of Allah, his zikr of Allah, reaches the level that for him it becomes impossible to live without the thought of Allah. He becomes immersed in Allah's entity to the extent that everything else stops crossing his heart, and this becomes a natural habit of his. The great renowned Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Faisani rahmatullah alayhi writes, if such a person is granted 1,000 years of age and he tries to stop thinking about Allah all these 1,000 years, he cannot achieve it. You will never forget him, no matter how hard you try. Such people do not turn away from Allah, even for a second. Thus Allah Ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Rijalun, men, La tulhihim tijaratun wala bay'un an dhikrillah. Men whom trade and commerce cannot distract from Allah. And in Ali Imran, Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah, those who remember Allah, qiyaman wa quda, standing and sitting, wa ala junubihim, and lying and reclining. Allah speaks about them. Such a person is never distracted from Allah and remembers him every second of his existence. Though my hands remain busy with toil and work, Yet I was never distracted from the thought of you, O Allah. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Men whom neither trade nor merchandise distracted from the zikr of Allah. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. Those who remember Allah. قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. Standing and sitting. وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. And upon their sides reclining. Clarification. One might come to think that how is it possible not to be distracted, even by trying to be distracted? The answer is quite simple. The attribute of the ear is to listen. While awake, no matter how hard someone tries not to listen, it is impossible to avoid sounds entering the ear and being interpreted by the brain. Similarly, the attribute of the eye is to see. If someone tries his best not to see with eyes open, it is simply not possible. In the same way, the attribute of the heart becomes zikr, remembering Allah, and thus distraction becomes impossible. The mashayikh have summed it as, the immersed do not return. The immersed do not ever return. It means that just as someone reaching puberty cannot go back biologically, ripe fruit cannot become unripe again, the one who has attained the level of immersion in Allah's zikr can simply not be distracted. Allah Ta'ala does not let such a person go back into a life of sin and enters him into his circle of pious people close to him. The immersion of Hazrat Abdullah Istirqai rahmatul alay. Hazrat Abdullah Istirqai alay rahma was a pious saint, a wali of Allah, who would often engage in litany of remembering Allah. This litany reached the point of immersion, and thus it became impossible for him to be distracted from Allah. In such a state, the spirit, the ruh, it soars. It flies very high, but the body undergoes difficulty in handling the intense showers of divine mercy befalling it. Thus he made a plan to go hunting in order to distract himself. He sat out with his acquaintances, but even this failed to work. In a state of helplessness, he said words that carry a strange essence. Ya Allah, forgive all the sins of the one who distracts me from the litany and the zikr of your name. Hence, immersion leads to a cessation of distraction from Allah, even momentarily. The nisbah and the purity of intention. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that innamal a'malu binniyat, actions are based on intentions. Further, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa inna ma likulli imri'in ma nawa." For everyone is what he intended. He gets that what he intends. For the level of purity in the intention, the level of purity in intention determines the level of reward for the action. At times, the action itself might not be that big, but the intention makes it colossal. And at times the action itself would be huge, but the corruption within intention would make it minute. Another trait of a sahib al-nisba is that he constantly keeps his intentions in check, always watchful of intentions, because he wishes to do everything for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Thus he checks his intention to see if it is in line with his objective, and then determines if the action should be performed or not. Furthermore, he tries his best to increase the level of purity in his intention to make it more pleasing for his Rabb. This purity of intention ultimately becomes the reason for the reward of his actions to be immense. Hazrat Ali, Karramallahu Wajah, and the purity of intention. During a battle, Hazrat Ali, Karramallahu Wajha, once subdued his opponent and was about to stab him when the infidel spat on his blessed face. Suddenly, instead of stabbing him, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajha stepped off his chest. Surprised, he asked, "Ya Ali, what caused you not to kill me?" He replied, "I was about to kill you for the sake of Allah. But when you spat on my face, my personal enmity became involved. I do not kill anyone for the sake of my personal enmity." Purity of intention. Look at Hazrat Sufyan al-Thawri. Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the teachers of Imam Bukhari. Teachers of the teachers of Imam Bukhari. His name is mentioned so many times in Ahadith, narrators of Hadith, a great muhaddith. He was also a great faqih and jurist, and also a great wali of Allah. Hazrat Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatul alayh, used to say that people would learn the purity of intention. They used to learn purity of intention, such in the old times as people now learn actions. Like how people now learn actions, he said that we used to learn purity of intention. Sufyan al-Thawri, alayhi rahmah, he once wore his dress inside out while going for prayer and for salat. A man saw this and turned his attention towards the issue. Hazrat extended his hand to turn back his garment the right way, but he stopped. Later on, upon the man's inquisition, he said, "When I first wore the dress, my intention was to please Allah. However, after you had pointed it out, I checked my intention again, and this time it was to please someone other than Allah. Thus I thought my original deed to be better and let my dress stay the same." Hazrat Tawus and purity of intention. Hazrat Tawus rahmatullah alayhi was another great muhaddis, well versed in the science of hadith. He would make it a habit to check his intention before explaining a hadith. When he would find the desired level of divine immersion in his intention, he would start lecturing and would do the opposite if not. Once people inquired about this habit of his, to which he replied, "I check the purity of my intention first. If it is to please Allah Ta'ala, only then do I start lecturing about the hadith. But if I don't find the desired level of intentional clarity, then I don't just start lecturing and talking." Maulana Yaqub Nanotwi, rahmatul alayh, in the purity of intention. Hazrat Yaqub Nanotwi alayh rahmah is a very pious scholar who passed amongst our pious, virtuous predecessors from the land of India. He was once reprimanding a student and he slapped him twice. When the lad felt pain and started crying, he said, "Hazrat, forgive me. For the sake of Allah, forgive me." To this, Hazrat alayhi rahmah replied, "O servant of Allah, I only slap you. I slap you only for the sake of Allah." Thus, it is evident that even their anger was for the sake of Allah. Man ahabba lillah wa abghadha lillah faqad istakmala al-iman. A strange incident. Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Zakaria alayhi rahmah details a strange incident. Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Zakaria writes, alayhi rahmah, there was once a dweller of the town Panipat who had a murder case lodged against him in the town of Kurnal near the river Jamuna. The day that his hearing was to be held, the river current was intense. He would beg each of the sailors to take him across, but all would refuse. He became worried, and in a state of perplexity, someone told him to go to a nearby hut where a pious saint and wali lived and request him for duas. Thus he went to the wali and requested him to make dua for him. At first, the saint humbly refused, citing that his dua was of no eminence to solve problems. After the man cried and begged, he finally relented and said, "Go to the river and tell the river that you have been sent by the man who always practiced self-control with his wife. The man went and did as instructed, and amazingly, the Jamuna River gave way to pass for him to pass. His problem was solved, but the saint's wife, the wali's wife, came and furiously said, "If you never had intercourse with me, then the 7 kids that I have, who are they from? You will reap me immense disrespect in the society." The saint tried his best to calm her down, but she just wouldn't listen. Finally, he explained, "Look, I obviously had intercourse several times with you, but each time my intention would only be to fulfill the obligatory rights that you have over me as a wife, not out of my personal desire." This was the meaning of my message to the man. Summarizing it, the bearers of the nisba always make sure that their intentions are to please Allah from every deed that they do. To develop this mechanism of intentional purity, they spend years in the company of the mashayikh practicing control of intention. Only then do they reach the point that they are able to perform actions with completely pure intentions. The nur of nisba and Allah's presence. Another core attribute of a sahibun nisba is that he always remains aware of Allah's presence. I would like to stop here, inshallah.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair,